You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Would you take your Bibles, open them to a couple places. Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hebrews 13 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I've entitled our Bible study today, Honoring Our Pastors. Honoring our pastors. We have a responsibility to honor our pastors, as we'll see in a moment, to love them, to remember them, to esteem them highly, to respect them, to serve them, to support them. And I believe that God chooses the pastors and leaders that he puts in our lives. I believe it's in his sovereign choice to put the men in our lives that we need in order to grow up spiritually. And I know that doesn't seem to fit well within our current thinking of churches today and choices, like, you know, the emphasis of the freedom that we have. We truly do emphasize freedom, but, you know, God has given us freedom within limits. The Bible even speaks of the freedom of the Lord is where the Spirit is. It says, the Bible says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there's where the freedom is. So it's not like this absolute freedom where we can do everything that we want to do whenever we want to do it. God places limits on it. And you know, there's a lot of movement in churches today because there's so many churches that there's a lot of movement where people are looking for this pastor and that pastor and looking for the perfect church. And even today, you might be here looking for a church and examining this church and wondering if this is home for you. And there's certainly seasons for that, for sure, that God would move you on. But this idea of moving around, searching for the perfect pastor, I think you've found out by now, he doesn't exist. The list that you've developed just will never be matched. Instead, it would be better for you to receive the choice that God has for you. Why? Because God knows you. He knows how you'll grow. He knows what you'll need. He knows the voice that will speak to your heart. You know, that's what you want from a Bible. Not only do you want to be in a church that teaches the Bible, not just uses it, not just has it up on the pulpit as a decoration, but you want to be in a church that teaches the Bible, but you also want to be in a church where the pastor, when he's teaching, hits your heart, not just your mind. Because, you know, there's a lot of intellectual study with the Bible and understanding the Bible. But you want to be in a place where you move and your heart, where the Bible's taught and you're moved and your heart is changed. And God knows who you need. And, you know, the Bible, Jesus would say in his teaching of us, he would tell us that the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. And of course, the reality of that is that every true believer, that's the interpretation, every true believer will hear the voice of Jesus. But by application, I believe we can make an application related to the men that God puts in our lives. That's why if you're listening to the radio or different Bible studies, some pastors relate to you more than others. It's not necessarily something negative. It's just your ears are tuned to a particular frequency that God has the pastor just for you. And you want to submit to that because God chooses for you and me the leaders he knows that will shape us and mold us and make us into the men and women that he wants us to be. So God will put a man in your life that will speak the truth to you, and he's there by the will of God. It's God's desire for you and your family. And you say, well, Ed, where's that in the Bible? I've never even heard that before. In Jeremiah chapter 3, in verse 15, listen to what God says through the prophet. He says it to the prophet, to the children of Israel under the old covenant. And then you have to say, well, how much more now in the new covenant? How much more does God want to give us a pastor and teacher to help us understand? Listen to what he says, Jeremiah 3, verse 15. God says, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And that is God's will for our lives. It's his purposes. And you know, it was in 1991, before the internet was invented. It was back in 1991 that God brought me to a church and gave me my pastor, Jeff Johnson. On February 13th, of this year, my pastor, Jeff Johnson, went home to be with the Lord. He had a 5-year battle with cancer, and it was a ruptured ulcer that led to sepsis that ushered him into the presence of the Lord after 50 years of faithful service. I have a pastor that made it 50 years. He didn't steal from the church. He didn't mess around with other women that wasn't his wife. He didn't lie. He wasn't deceptive. He finished his race well. And God gave that man to me. I didn't choose. I walked into that church lost as lost could be. And so when I'm saying these things, I understand them from a real perspective. This was the man that God had for me and my family. And his ministry and his faithfulness in my life has now extended here to Colorado. 50 years, it's no small thing to serve God in the same place for 50 years. And God used that man and his ministry to literally change my life and change my family and even add to my family. Being born again kept my wife and I together, saved our marriage, and even added to our family. It was there at Calvary Chapel in Downey, California, where I experienced firsthand where Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to salvation. The gospel, the good news, is the power of God for your life right now. And God wants to work in your life. Understand this as we speak about pastors today. We know, and there's no doubt whatsoever, that Jesus Christ is our great shepherd. We follow him. He is the one we look to. Our eyes are fixed and fastened upon. However, we also publicly thank God for the men, the spiritual leaders that he's placed in our lives for our own spiritual health and growth. We commonly call those men pastors, under shepherds. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28, it says, do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. These men have set an example for us. You can say in a very real way that we stand on the shoulders of the men that have come before us. And as we speak about our pastors here in this church or my pastor, Jeff Johnson, we recognize that they're not perfect men, not men without flaws, but that's what makes it all the more glory to God for using imperfect men to bring such change in our lives. And pastors have a responsibility, but listen, church, we also have a responsibility to our pastors. And so you're sitting in a church today that exists because of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that started in another church 33 years ago. It's interesting because we're doing some cleaning up and things in our house and painting and stuff. So I was forced to clean out my home office, which I haven't done for 11 years. So it was just a mess. But you know, messy offices mean the work takes place there. You understand that, right? Clean offices, no work. Dirty offices, not, you know, you have your opinion on that for sure. But I had to clean up. So some things showed up that I forgot I had. And one of them was this VHS tape. Okay, VHS tape. It looks like this, actually. These are VHS tapes for you youngins. Google it, TikTok it. You'll find a lot about VHS tapes. But this is how we used to have to watch. We had a VHS machine and a rewind machine. Remember? You just take it out. And so this tape's very special, though, because it is the 25-year anniversary service on tape of Calvary Chapel Downey. It happened the year before I left. The year before we moved here, 1998, is when we had this service. I remember I was in the service, sitting in the sanctuary, celebrating the 25 years of faithfulness that God had given to Pastor Jeff up to that point. And it was one of those moments, too, in that service where in my heart of hearts, God used that service in my heart of hearts. It was one of the times I said, you know what, Lord, in my own heart, I just said it to myself and to the Lord. But I'm like, if you want to do that again, If you want to do this again, I will go anywhere to be able to see this happen again. And what I meant by that is like, I'm willing to start from nothing, to go somewhere and start from nothing and see what you will do by blessing your word as it gets taught. And he brings us here to Aurora. And wouldn't you know it, this year we celebrate 25 years, our own 25 years of ministry that's built on that history. Pastor Jeff was one of the first pastors out of Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa that planted a church there in Downey, where he grew up, which Downey was very near where I grew up. And God used him in that original generation to teach the word in his own community. And so it's no small thing for a guy to be somewhere 20 years, 25 years, 50 years. The fruit of Pastor Jeff's legacy continues on as many are reached with the gospel. And a lot of people came out of Calvary Chapel Downey. There's quite a few of them right here in Colorado. You know, Pastor Louis is here. Pastor Jason Klein was here for a while. You know, Aaron Lorkovic came out of when he was here. He's in Texas now. Pastor Jeff Fadden, one of our missionaries up in Georgia region near Russia. I mean, there are people all over the country that have come out of that church, including people that we've sent out over the years. But today, I want to spend some time reminding us of the importance of serving and supporting our pastors, the pastors that God has given us, that we should do this exceptionally well. We should go over the top in honoring and blessing and taking care of our pastors. Longevity and faithfulness among pastors is on the decline today in the broader church. More pastors are committing adultery on their wives. More pastors are stealing and lying in the churches they're in. More pastors are abusing people and taking advantage of people. And more pastors are under so immense pressure than ever before. They did a survey last year a couple years ago in 2022. And in that survey and report, it was found that 42% of the pastors surveyed were considering quitting within the year. 42%. What that means is, if you want to put it in perspective, what that means is you're driving through town on your way to church and you're passing 10 churches. This is like you're passing 10 valid, strong churches in our community. There's a good chance that 4 or 5 of the men pastoring that church are considering throwing in the towel. Also, if you pay attention, you notice around town, a lot of churches put up signs. They put up signs in the corner. We did that for many years when we were meeting in the school, and they're letting you know we're in town. We want to see a church started. In town, see a church. But I've been in this town now for 25 years, and let me say, I've seen a lot of churches come and a lot of them go and not make it because it's hard. It's hard to shepherd the flock of God. It's hard to pastor. And because of that, God knew ahead of time what our responsibility is in supporting our pastors. And what I'm about to share with you is my perspective and how I've applied the Bible in serving my pastor all these 33 years. This has been my attitude. This is how I've applied it. This is how I apply it in serving the pastors that serve alongside of me over the years here in this church. Because consider some of the things pastors are concerned about. You know, whether they are dealing with any of these or all of these, but the pastor's considering quitting, here are some of the reasons. These are just, there was like 50 reasons or 30, I forget, but I took the top 8. So number 1 was the immense stress of the job. Then pastors were feeling lonely and isolated. Then number 3, the current political divisions are making pastors go, you know what? I just want to go sell insurance, man. I don't want to get involved in this anymore. The people have lost their minds and forgotten the gospel. And they're getting involved in stuff that they're not even listening to me anymore. They don't even hear the Bible anymore. They're too caught up in this world and this kingdom and not the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of guys as we have the privilege of pastoring pastors here. Another reason is they're unhappy with the effect that the ministry's had on their family and the stress and pain that they bring home. Another one, they're not optimistic about the future. Another one, they're always fighting with the elders, and they don't want to fight with the elders anymore. And some churches are set up that way, where it's just constant conflict, and it's not good. Another reason pastors are considering quitting is the churches are steadily declining. But the reason that really applies to our Bible study today is a lot of pastors want to quit because they don't feel respected by their congregants. They don't feel taken care of. So today, here at Calvary, we, as of today, we have 16 pastors here taking care of the needs of the flock. That doesn't include all the lay leaders or all the different serve, but on our team, God has given us 16 pastors to serve you, the precious flock of Calvary, and all the various ministries that extend from this church. These men, along with their wives and families, have answered the call of God to serve this church self-sacrificially, and we appreciate them today. We thank them. God has called them to serve here. And church, it's important that we support and love and help and hold up our pastors. That's a non-negotiable. And I want to show you a few things that will help you. Turn over now to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, when you get there, notice verse 7. It wasn't too long ago in our verse-by-verse study of Hebrews that we studied this more in depth. But if, by way of reminder today, I just want to remind you, verse 7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Let me read that to you in the NLT. Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of their faith. Turn over to verse 17 now. Same chapter, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. No, in the NLT, the New Living Translation is translated, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So there are those that God has put in our lives to rule over us, to teach us, to be a covering for us, to teach us the word of God, to lead us and help us get back on track where necessary. And there, it's important to pause here for a second and let's just say, make sure that we understand this. If there's sin going on with leaders, you don't need to submit to sin. If there's abuse or nonsense, you don't need to submit to that. That's not what we're talking about here. You know, that's the exception, not the rule. I know it gets all the attention, but the exception is pastors going rogue and making bad decisions. What the norm is that you've got men and women faithfully serving, men and their wives faithfully serving you, certainly not perfect, but faithfully serving you self-sacrificially. That's the norm. And as we like to say here, as I like to help you understand, wherever there is godly leadership, that is to be matched with godly submission. That's relationship in the body of Christ. And here in Hebrews, we're reminded, hey, remember them, take care of them, encourage them. It's going to be good for them, but it's also going to be good for you. God's not requiring blind submission from you. He's not requiring like you follow some heavy-handed lording over you pastor, not at all. But he is encouraging you to follow and make it easy for your pastors to serve you. You know, when you have a pastor that's following the teachings of Jesus, where Jesus taught us, if anyone desires to be first, he should be last and the servant of all. When you have pastors like that, then it's met, you and I were to meet them with serving and supporting them because God's ordained that. He's put the pastors in our lives. He's put the pastors in our lives. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians now, chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice with me when you get there, go to verse 12. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you, same mindset as ruling over, they're over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And here's the best way that you can bless your pastors. Be at peace among yourselves. Yes, 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 yes. Abide in Christ and be at peace, man. And it'll make things so much easier. Here's the NLT, New Living. I love it on how they translated it. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work and live peaceably with each other. It's like Paul's going, I beg you guys, respect your leaders, honor them, support them, esteem them very highly, express your agape love to them. you know, historically, the church has gone through two different extremes when it comes to leadership and pastors. One is, you know, some churches and ministries will elevate pastors to the place of worship and put them on pedestals and make them something that they're not. And don't do that. But the other extreme is that pastors aren't respected. They're not seen for the calling of God upon their life or the hard work that they give to the ministry. They are slandered and gossiped about and torn down. And, you know, the proper path when it comes to pastors is in your worship of Jesus, we need to learn to serve and support those men God has ordained to shepherd our lives. It reminded me, you know, back in the early days back in California when I was serving with Pastor Jeff, I was never on staff there, but there was a short season in a couple years where that's all I wanted was to be on staff there. That's what I thought my future was. That's all I wanted. I thought, oh my goodness, if I just worked at a church, it would be like working in heaven. It's not, but that was where I was at. It's like, it was going to be it. And so I was serving with other pastors, you know, and let me just be clear here. When we talk about discipleship from pastors or we talk about a pastor of mine, I don't want you to get in your mind like I hung out with Pastor Jeff all the time. I did not. He had a calling in his life. You know what it was? Pray, study the Bible, and teach me. And that's what he did very faithfully. He's like, well, how did you grow in the ministry? I came to Bible study like you. I got my Bible out on one hand, notes on the other one, and I paid attention. Because if God put that man in my life to help me understand the Bible, then I need to allow him to teach me the Bible. And so when he taught it to me, I received it, checked it from the Word, and lived it out. So when you look at relationships with pastors, you know, because here's the thing. Many pastors die the death of 1,000 unrealistic expectations. And we need to be careful not to put these unrealistic expectations on pastors for them to be something that they're not. They have a calling in life. Listen, you know what their calling is? Number one, to love their wives. They need to be faithful in loving their wives. Number two, they need to raise their kids in the ways of the Lord. And then thirdly, through the expression of their home, they're to come and be among us, serving us self-sacrificially. And I can say over the years, I've watched many pastors come through here, and generally we've had exceptionally good men serving our church over the years. We now, right now, have an amazing team that God is assembling for what he wants to do in the future, that the men that are serving right now as pastors in this church, they are loving their wives, ministering to their kids, and serving here self-sacrificially. However, if you come to them and say, well, I need to be their best friend, you got to let the Lord do that kind of stuff. You know that? We don't know who your best friend's going to be. We don't know what God has in store for you. But if you start lopping on unrealistic expectations on your pastors, you will be frustrated because that's not God's heart for you. God's heart for you is to serve your pastors and support them. That's what God's heart is. And it reminded me back in California when all I wanted to do was be on staff. And so some of the other pastors were telling me, hey, Ed, your name came up in staff meeting today. Really? What'd he say? Is it time? No, we were just talking about something and your name came up. Oh, well, next time. And it was that type of thing until God completely delivered me from that. However, he took that thought away, that prideful, oh, if they mention my name somehow. He took it away from me, and you know what he replaced it with? He replaced it with this thought. As I approached my pastor, I thought, if my name ever comes up in a staff meeting, I don't want it to be negative. I want him, when he thinks of me, or my name comes up in a ministry I'm overseeing, or something that I'm being expected to do, that when my name comes up, I am one less person my pastor needs to worry about. That he knows if he gave me something, it is done the way he wants it done, when he wants it done, and he doesn't need to worry about me. He's got enough things in his life. He doesn't need to worry about me. He doesn't need to worry about what I'm responsible for, because my heart is to be faithful, because God called me in that church to make his life easier so that he could be faithful to do what God has called him to do. It is work, church. You notice those words in 1 Thessalonians? It is work. Notice in verse 12, he uses the word labor, and then in verse 13, he uses the word work, work's sake. Ministry is work. It is hard work. The word labor means to work into fatigue, to be worn out. And many a day a pastor will leave the building here or leave a memorial service or leave something, some hospital visit, weary, as if they had manual labor, exhausted, pouring into the lives. It is work to beg you not to divorce. It is work to beg you to get your eyes on the Lord. It is work to beg you to stop with all these unrealistic expectations. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Serve Him. It's not about you and what you want. It's work. It's work to study and wrestle with the text and pray over it. It's work. And so because of that, we honor our pastors to recognize, because you know, you're like, well, you walk into a church like this and go, what do you do all week, man? 45 minutes, couple times a week, that's a good gig. You know, I think I'd like that. And it also reminded me in the sanctuary back in California. That's my, in those early days, I'd sit in the back and I'm wondering, you know, I think I could do that. Talk for 50 minutes. I can talk for 50 minutes. Not really understanding what it took for a man to stand in the pulpit. There's a lot that goes into it. A lot. Ministry's work. We're not out, you know, we're not gathering together playing video games and pickleball. And, you know, it's like we do get away for some fun, but it's work. It's work. We recognize and love and esteem those because of their lives and the effort that they place into their lives and the hard work that goes into it. We have our part. We need to consider in agape love how we can make it easier for our pastors, not harder. How we treat the leaders, how we treat the pastors, how we treat fellow believers. Let me show you an example of this. Again, it's very personal. Turn over to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. This is one of the passages of scripture that I've internalized over the years as it relates to my pastor. And I can say all the way to the end, you know, I was texting as he was battling through cancer. I was texting him and his wife, Karen, all throughout the treatments and things going on, staying in touch with them. Even been back to California a few times in the last 5 years to teach at Calvary Downey and to support and to be out to serve him and serve alongside of him, which is a great privilege. And it's amazing just the things that God allows you to be a part of when you are seeking to help and seeking to serve. So this recent bout, just up to February 13th, I was texting them almost every day, saying, praying for you, scriptures, whatever the Lord put on my heart. On one of the texts, and I forget what day it was exactly, but one of the texts, he was in the ICU. He was on a ventilator. And he was battling his final sickness, Pastor Jeff was. And the response to the text was, hey, do you want to pray with him right now? And I'm like, sure. So boom, I called right away, not wanting to intrude. They invite me into their lives. I get to pray. I get to pray for Pastor Jeff on speakerphone right there because he had been the day I prayed with him. He was off the ventilator and he was just recovering. We were very hopeful that he was going to get out of the hospital. And so we prayed and said, amen. I say, Pastor Jeff, I just want you to know, I love you. And he could barely talk, you know, and he goes, I love you too. That was the last thing he said to me. And it reminded me because when my son collapsed 11 years ago on a Saturday morning, before he collapsed, that morning I felt this burden to send a text to him. And I didn't send it as a group text, I sent it individually. So I woke up in the morning and I sent a text to my son, I love you. And then I started over and I sent a text to his former wife, I love you. And then I sent a text to my grandson, who was only 3 months old, so he shouldn't have a phone by then, but I also texted him, I love you. And those were the last words, you know, visibly, I guess, so we didn't have audibly, but visibly we were able to share with my son before he passed away. You see, it's very important that you posture yourself in positions where God could give you those gifts. Because you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. It's so different from the take mindset. But when God really flips that switch in your heart to give, you just don't know when and how God's going to use you. And you have to have a real love for your pastor and his family and the men that God has called to serve you here. This is not like a business transaction here. We're dealing with the souls of men and women here. It's very relational. And here you'll see in Exodus 17, it's like a battle. And we need your help. Notice verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses, Aaron, and Hur, they went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became very heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. This is a real battle. Children of Israel coming out. Moses, God's leader, God's appointed leader, has the support that he needs through Joshua, through Aaron, through Hur. And there's a battle, a real battle going on. And we see in this true story that Moses said, I'm going to go up on the hill and I'm going to lift my hands on the rod. And really, it's a place of prayer and surrender. And then all of a sudden, you notice when his hands were up, there was victory in the valley. But because his hands, if you ever try to keep your hands up like this, you can't do it for very long. It starts becoming heavy and heavy and heavy. Aaron and Hur were up there. And they weren't up there to goof off and mess around. They were there to take care of Moses. And it's obvious here that they were paying attention because they noticed it too. Hands up, victory. Hands down, defeat. And the brothers getting tired. And so what do? They find a rock without being asked. They find a rock. They sit Moses down and they literally help him hold his hands up. They support him. And I use this illustration a lot when it comes to the men here as we serve one another and now to you, that it's important that you take the role within the church of lifting up the arms of your pastors, supporting them, holding them up. Why? Because when they're strong, victory comes. When they're weak, defeat. And we all pay the price of defeat in a church and we all celebrate the victory. That's how it is in a church family. I also use this illustration that, because you kind of get the illustration, I doubt that they stood here on Moses' hands holding it up. I'm sure they got down under him and held him up like this, right up under his armpits, which probably was pretty nasty in the hot desert. Because it's not an easy thing to do. But one thing they didn't do is they didn't hang on his arms and make it harder for an already weary man. And if you just have that illustration that your role and my role is to hold up the arms of our pastors, not hang on them and make it harder for them. Today, I want to remind you from God's word how important it is to support and help and serve alongside the pastors that God has given to us. I thank God for the many pastors I've served with. I thank God for the many pastors I get to serve with today. I thank God for their wives and their families living out the calling of the Holy Spirit together without murmuring and complaining. I thank God that we can consider the outcome of their conduct and follow them in example. I thank God that he would help them grow in grace. You know, I think of one of the pressures that pastors have to deal with is this phrase, and I don't like it, and I'm grateful over the years we've minimized it here, but if we can eliminate it, it would be great. And that's the idea of the pressure of their kids. And you know them commonly as pastor's kids or PKs. I hate that phrase. They're not pastor's kids or PKs. They're kids. That's it. They're just kids. So when the kids might be running around or doing something and they get in trouble or something, oh, you know, that's the pastor's kid. No, it's a kid getting in trouble. That's all. It's just a kid. They don't need any more pressure on them of already a pressure-filled life. So, you know, you're a pastor's kid. You should behave better. Look, man, should we watch you and your kids? Like, come on now. We all have kids. We don't put any extra pressure on the pastor's kids. Kids stumble and fall and they get in trouble. They make difficult decisions. And you know what we do? We love them. That's what we do in Agape. We take care of them. And you know, I've raised my kids in this church. We spent a few years in California and Eddie had a few years in California and Josh had a few years, but we raised them here in this church. This is where they grew up. And for the most part, this church has been very gracious to our kids. But we need to make decisions based upon supporting our path, not putting all these expectations on them, but loving them and serving alongside of them. That when you're reading like a thing in the Connect or something, and you're like, we need help. That's an invitation. Come serve. Don't look for prominence. Don't think, you know, look at me. Just serve the Lord. He'll take care of all that. He'll take care of all your heart's desires if your heart's desire is Him. But if it's something else, you're just always going to be frustrated and difficult and challenging. And really, that's not God's will for your life. I want to remind you that your pastors are God's gift to you, and He's using them in your life. And I'm grateful for my pastor. God chose him for me. I didn't even know about church plant hopping or any. I didn't even care about church when I walked into one. I could care less. I didn't care about God, the Bible. I didn't care about anybody. Didn't even care much about myself. But you know, even in that condition, God cared for me. And He put people in my life to invite me to the right place. And this little family of churches, Calvary Chapel, was perfect for me. For just the loser life that I was living and just the lostness that I was, it was a church where you go, anybody's welcome. Even someone like you, Ed. There's hope for someone like you. Someone that's thrown your life away by the time you're 23. Someone who has hurt pretty much everyone that's ever come into your life. You know, there's hope for you, Ed. And I got a little gathering of people that aren't going to be paying attention to all the outward stuff. They're just going to give you the Word of God. And the Word of God is effectual. I mean, I've sat under the systematic teaching of the Word of God with my pastor in the 8 years I was at that church. And then I listened to him at least weekly, but you know, this year almost daily, still receiving from my pastor, Pastor Chuck Smith, and so many others that God has put in our lives. So I'm grateful. I learned a lot. I'm learning a lot. And I believe that God wants us to learn how to serve and love our pastors even better. Now, in closing today, I found out that there was a final video that Pastor Jeff made before he passed away. And it's his final words. You know, his final recorded words as a pastor. He was exhorting some pastors at a conference, and it's just a quick little clip. So I want to share with you some of the final exhortations that come from my pastor to us. Although he didn't speak them directly to us, we receive them that way. So let's cue up that video.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a faith walk that is trusting in the Lord and His wisdom and not in your own. It's a committing of whatever you feel that the Lord's laid on your heart to Him, and then go for it. We must step out in faith, or you don't go anywhere. You won't do anything. Faith is comes by hearing, and that of the Word of God. So we need to be sitting at God's Word and just respond as God would have us respond, according to the Word. And you're checking yourself, and you're making sure that, you know, this is according to what God wants me to do. So you do it, and you take that step, and He blesses every time. I mean, it's amazing. And even when you're kind of in doubt, if you'll just trust Him with it, He'll bring it to pass. In other words, He'll change it to the place of making you see really, you know, clearly what He wants you to do. So it's something that as a believer, it comes with years of following Him and walking with Him.
Great picture. Would you stand together? I have some of the pastors up here at the front of the stage, and I want to invite you if you'd like to come up and lay hands on them. We're going to pray for them. So you want to come up, just get out of your chair. Come on up. You have the freedom. I'm encouraging you to do it. So if you wash your hands, come on up. I want you to, we're going to pray for our pastors. They're all up here. We'll make room. Come on up. And if you can't get to a pastor, you lay hands on the person in front of you. And so just keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And then I'm going to pray. Everyone else that isn't coming, you can lay your hands like we did with family dedication this morning. And we're going to pray for some. These aren't all our pastors because they're all different places, different responsibilities, but they're here right now. And so let's just join together and pray for them. Lord, we thank you for the men that you've given us here in this fellowship to serve us, to lay their lives down. We pray in relation to their wives and their children and all of the sacrifices and things that we don't know and we don't see and we never will because they're made to you, Lord. By extension, God, we pray for all the lay leaders and the men and women that serve in various ways, again, very self-sacrificially because they love you and they love this church. Protect them, God. Keep them from sin and compromise. Keep them from a time like where we will be able to say, like my pastor, I finished my race well. I made it through the finish line and I'm in the presence. I served until I'm in the presence of you, Jesus. So bless your church today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Ed Taylor. If you enjoy the message, you can access more Pastor Ed's teaching ministry by visiting edtaylor.org.